I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 21, final game of the regular season, Centennial Cup at the Boz Saturday, 1 p.m. with the University of Rochester. Head coach Kevin DeWall is with us. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So it went pretty easy on Saturday at Buffalo State, 63-7. You had three defensive touchdowns, got a lot of guys on the field, and everything went pretty much according to plan.
Yeah, it was. We jumped on them early, which I thought was key. The defense forces the stop early on the first possession. The wind was a factor. We had them punting into the wind. We went and we got the blocked punt and then went down and scored. And then, again, bang, bang, get a stop, score 14-0. And I thought that start is what we needed to just make sure, you know, a team that and Buff State will be better. But as of right now, that you know, they were kind of on the ropes a little bit early, and I think we made it very clear that hopefully we weren't going to entertain them being in a close game, and I think our guys were focused on the start, and I was really pleased with all three phases, how we jumped on them pretty early.
Yeah, we talked just before we started recording about turning a program like that around. I mean, it's going to take some work. We saw a couple of guys, Allie Wilson, the running back, looked like a pretty good tool to build around. They'd had a quarterback who got hurt earlier in the year. The one that they had was under a lot of pressure, and you could see him get kind of gun-shy. I mean, he's worrying every time he drops back. Here comes the pressure. Threw a couple off his back foot, and you get a couple of pick sixes.
Yeah, I think they have a really good coaching staff. Obviously, a new young head coach that has ideas and plans on how he wants to turn around the culture and turn around the team. And, you know, some of that's going to take some time with recruiting and changing, you know, what was there and kind of putting it in his own imprint on it. But I think they have some really good young talent, guys that would be that we would be excited to play for us on both sides of the ball. And I think sometimes the score doesn't always indicate. Like they had some injuries and, you know, obviously had a couple turnovers and the score got away from them a little bit. But as always, turn around a program is not easy. And I think but I think they're heading in the right direction. They seem pretty positive, you know, even, you know, going into our game and hoping to finish the season on a strong note and really then hit the road recruiting for them.
It was a game where we had a pretty good idea you'd be able to run the ball and wouldn't have to throw much. But when you did throw, David Carusen was very effective. He had some great catches. Zaccone climbed the ladder to make that one catch. And it's interesting because he's kind of quietly crept up the leaderboards. I mean, David Carusen's going to wind up his career in the top 8 or 9 Hobart quarterbacks ever in most of the passing categories.
Yeah, I think in credit to him, I mean, we actually had two drops. You know, he was 10 for 14, would have been 12 for 14, and I thought he put the ball in the right spots on a couple of them, and I think that's we knew is they pressured us a good amount, and we thought that going in. So what that does is they really were trying to attack the run game, trying to get those negative plays to slow our drives down. And we thought that we were going to be able to have some more quick game and end up being more of the intermediate routes that were open. But I thought David put it in the right spots and, you know, really spread it around. There wasn't like one or two people that were targeted more than others. I think the way the field was open in the middle of the field, the tight ends had a really good start to the day. And overall, I think there was 4 or 5 catches that were, you know, for the tight end or targets and catches from the tight end group. So that's the balance that we want to have is still getting back to that 50-50 as close as possible of really being able to run it when we want to run it and throw it when we want to throw it. And when we're able to do that, then I think we become a really dynamic offense.
You got to put a lot of different guys on the field. Benjamin Farrell had his first career catch. Kevin Crist, one of your tight ends, had his first career catch. And it's always great when you can reward those guys that work hard with some time on the field.
Yeah, and each one of those guys is ironically, there's two guys right there that changed positions. You know, Ben came in as a quarterback. It was a really good high school quarterback out of Albany Academy and has turned into a really good slot receiver for us and special team guy for us. And then Kevin Crist was out of New Jersey, Mountain Lakes, who came in and last year was playing linebacker. And you know, obviously with Emmett and some of the other outside linebackers we had, we didn't see as large of a role from him. And just I liked his versatility. He was a high school running back, tight end type body, and has transitioned over. And his role has increased throughout the beginning of the year, just learning our offense. And has really been picking up as of late, and you'll probably see more of him this upcoming Saturday.
The offensive line has pass blocked well all season and did last year. You're among the tops in the nation in protecting the quarterback again. It seems to me like that run blocking is really starting to come along now.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of you know, a little bit more cohesiveness up front. We had a couple injuries to the O-line early, and then as we talked about the running game, it's more than just the O-line. Obviously, a lot of eyes go strictly to the O-line and how they perform, but it's the tight ends, it's the wide receivers, it's the quarterbacks knowing what checks to get us in and out of, and I thought David did a really good job a couple times, you know, getting us into potentially better plays, and then I think it's all 11 really just being on the same page, and when we can have that, we're going to be a pretty good offense.
And in terms of the O-line, I mean, you got injuries and people being shuffled around. You got some more moving around this week. I don't know if you've had the same five too many games in a row.
No, we've played the last couple, at least they've played, but they haven't necessarily been in practice. So I think what's deceiving is, you know, if you're not getting the reps maybe on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you can't perform at the same level. But, you know, we've had guys play through injuries. I can't get into the details, but at the end of the season, we'll talk about a couple of guys who've really kind of mounted up and played through some injuries that most people would have been sitting down with. And but the good sign was, you know, even with that second group of offensive linemen, I think they are able to show that they're progressing, which is good. You know, some of those freshmen and sophomores and a couple of juniors that are taking on a larger role. So I was pleased. You know, there was a couple plays that, you know, we didn't execute as well as we wanted to, but the film on Sunday was really helpful for the guys to see now, because some of those guys maybe haven't gotten as many reps in the last couple close games as much as we would have liked them to.
Defensively, you've been able to show a lot of blitz this year. I mean, Peterson's been excellent. We talked about he lives on the offensive line. And but the thing is, those guys are able to drop back into coverage that the offense never really knows. It sometimes you'll bring what looks like heavy blitz and drop back, and then other times you bring it. It gives you a lot of flexibility with that defense.
Yeah, we've kind of been hit with the injury bug a little bit up front in our D-line. So what we've done, really, you know, it's a work in progress, but even since weeks 3 and 4 was starting to bring a little bit more linebackers up and sometimes bringing them off the edge. We're able to twist them, drop them. So we might not be as stout up front just because of some of the size, but we've added on speed, quickness, and then versatility. So guys that can rush, but also guys that can drop and get into pass zones maybe a little bit more than some of our D-line. So that, you know, there's always pros and cons with everything you do. I think that's given us a little bit more versatility in terms of how teams have to then scheme up where we're coming from.
A lot of times, D linemen don't get that many tackles. They're funneling things to the linebackers. You've got five of the defensive linemen that have double-digit tackles. I mean, those guys are making plays, and they're making tackles behind the line.
Yeah, we're pleased with the progress, especially of, you know, we were down two of our noses going in last game. So we actually moved one of our edge defenders in at nose, so again gave us more speed, but you know, Buff State was pretty big up front, so that then when they tried to lean on us and some of the gap schemes, they got a little bit of movement. But I thought our linebackers ran well with the ball, and then what you had mentioned, the tackles and ends for us, those guys that are in that 4 and 5 technique, have really done a really good job. We move them all the time, so we're not looking for them just to be bookends. We want them to be able to get in the backfield, create havoc, and I think our speed and quickness is has showed out against some of those bigger offensive lines.
And defensively in the secondary, one name that we haven't said that many times this year is Makai Rogers. He played a regular role and was terrific.
Yeah, Makai's really stepped up. Makai, he caught our attention, obviously, during the recruiting process. He's got a tremendous upside. It's actually really exciting to see that if he continues to work, his ceiling is really high. Excellent athlete, kind of learning the techniques and man-to-man, but he's got length. He's got athletic ability. He can jump. His role has been through special teams in the early part of the season, and then when Joe McCoy went down with his injury out for the season, he's been able to step up the last couple weeks and has performed well when he's gotten his minutes.
In the run game, we're seeing more and more of the recovery of Rayshon Boswell. The last couple of weeks, he's shown us that old explosiveness, and Denham is just a workhorse. You can give him the ball 25 times if you want to. You haven't usually had to, but both those guys, it's just great to see that health returning and say, oh yeah, that's what we saw last year.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, Ray was, I think he only had the 5 carries, but went off for like 70 yards and, you know, obviously in a limited role and then able to throw the ball to him. And the same thing with Tim. Tim still has that explosiveness, but I just think the way that some of the carries have worked out, he's been more the workhorse this year. And it showed even last year, a couple of games when Ray was down, You know, I think of the bowl game where, you know, Tim carried the lion's share of the carries. they're great complimentary, and I think that's the interesting part is, you know, this upcoming weekend after this last game, we're going to be voting on all conference. And our guys maybe not have the same stats as some of the others in the conference, but I still believe those two guys are pretty dynamic running backs, and more so not just what they do with their running ball, but being able to throw to them and their pass protection, and then obviously even run blocking for the other guy.
I've been saying I've been his one-man committee, I think, all year, but I think Vicente Lyon should be the all-league first-team punter. I think he's the best in the league.
Well, we'll see how it shakes down. We joked around. Unfortunately, he was the only guy who didn't play on Saturday. We were able to go without the game without punting, and we got everybody else in. And I joked around with him in a serious way, just saying, you know, that doesn't happen very often. But we rested his leg, and hopefully he'll be ready to go if we need to punt him this weekend.
Final game of the regular season, Centennial Cup with the University of Rochester. They've sort of shifted over the years. They were very much a passing team. Now it's just they're a ground-pounding team with two very good running backs. But the problem with that is it gives you more chances to get stopped. I mean, if you're a big play passing team, you can get that three-play touchdown drive. When you're ground pounding, you got to get 10 and 12-play drives, and they just haven't been able to put it together in terms of scoring with that run attack.
Yeah, the game plan is going to be a little different. Almost every team they've played, they've had early success. I just think it's tough to mimic. You know, they use a lot of three tight ends. They pin pull their offensive line. So it's just a little bit different than maybe some of the other offenses we've seen. So especially early in the year, they were putting up some pretty gaudy running numbers. Teams have then been able to see it on video and started to adjust. But almost every team in the last three or four games, they've jumped on, had early success, and scored within the first drive or two. And then some of the games, you know, sometimes it takes the defense a little bit longer to kind of come up with some of those adjustments. But last year's game, for example, they came out, and that was kind of their first time of really showing that offense with two tight ends, and now they're using a third. And we were kind of that guinea pig last year as they were kind of coming into our game with a little bit of injuries and adjusted, and then they saw that that worked and stayed with it. So, you know, they do a really good job. They're going to know where you're at. They work their angles to their advantage. Not necessarily the biggest offensive line, but they've gotten better, stronger, more cohesive. Their tight ends are very key guys in their offense in terms of blocking on the perimeter, and they have a couple really good tight ends. And then, you know, I think the running backs run really hard. You know, statistically, two of the better running backs we're going to face, and I think it's going to be really important that our defense runs to the ball. You know, running to the ball helps, you know, against some of those gap schemes on the perimeter. And then tackling is going to be paramount because they've done a really good job at like making some of the, you know, linebackers and safeties miss some tackles and then hitting some of those bigger runs. So, you know, as always, tackling is key for us on defense, but especially this week.
U of R has not been very strong on pass defense, and now that you're getting those receivers healthy, I didn't even mention, I think Cruson hit, I think it was 10 different receivers last week. One person had two catches and a bunch of guys had one. So whoever's open, he's been able to find.
Yeah, our offense isn't dictated. You know, very rarely will we ever have one or two receivers with like 60, 70 catches. But the balance in our offense has always usually been pretty key. I think back even when we had like Brandon Shedd and some guys that were really marquee receivers. I think what happened this year, and again, at different times, certain guys have had to step up if there was an injury. Like you think about when Chris Bartosik was early on having a ton of targets and he missed a couple games. Alex obviously missed a couple games. Rain and Marcus have continued to progress, and now we got a couple young guys out there. Andrew Scott stepping up, and so I think right now, we've had one or two injuries coming out of the Buff State game that could affect, you know, a little bit in the passing game. I like the fact that we can spread around, and a lot of our offense, we can dictate where certain balls are going, but a lot of ours are progression-based, based on what the defense gives us. And I think David has done a better job really being able to slow the game down in the sense of seeing where the safeties are and where the corners are, leverage, knowing our movement keys, reading off of them, and it doesn't matter if it's our number three or number four tight end or if it's our number one, number two receiver, he's going to throw it to where the ball is hopefully meant to go, and then we expect those guys to be able to make the plays when they're ready.
Looking ahead to the future, we saw Johnny Columbia on the field again on Saturday, and he's looked pretty strong. He's had significant playing time this year. He can throw the ball, and he gives you maybe even more so than David Cruz in that running ability.
Yeah, a different type. David's a little bit bigger, thicker. Johnny continues to get stronger, and we met this morning at the quarterback tight end meeting, and we talked about just coming out of the weight room, and he's working hard there. So we're pleased with Johnny's progression, and you're right, he's gotten some key experience. And you know, the thing I can say right now, when Johnny goes in the game, we don't have to change our play calling. Mimics a lot of what we would be doing for David. And obviously every quarterback is slightly different in terms of their strengths and weaknesses, but he's emerged up as their number two quarterback over two seniors, and I think our number three and number four are really close. I mean, they're all ready at different times to be the number two quarterback, but you know, with three of those senior quarterbacks graduating, that'll be when we get to the winter workouts and spring ball, that's going to be really good to see kind of where the younger quarterbacks can progress. But as of right now, with three senior quarterbacks and Johnny stepped up, those four have really managed the game pretty well and have really competed with one another, pushed one another, which is a good sign.
Another young guy I want to mention was Jordan Walker, who made a lot of special teams plays, and it's always great. It's always tough for me when we get into those blowout games to go up and down the roster and figure out who these guys are, but it's great to see some of those young guys get on the field and contribute.
Yeah, Jordan, I'm really proud of his progress. He came in, was a high school basketball player, kind of played football later on in his career. We saw his athletic ability and upside, and he came in and just bought in his freshman year into the role of just coming in, competing, getting stronger, taking care of his nutrition, and each year, and then last year jumped on more in special teams, and now, I mean, last week he was our defensive scout player in terms of he actually did a really good job mimicking Buff State's defense and flying around and made some really good plays, and then he was also our special teams player in the Buff State game. So just shows, again, the progression. We have some really good young guys that those that are willing to commit and work at it, you know, their opportunities are coming. And, you know, we continually remind some young guys it takes them a little bit longer for that aha moment to kind of go off and realize the importance of balancing out life decisions off the field with academics and all the other things. And those that do typically have a favorable experience here. And Jordan's really, those guys, we're really proud of his development and hope he can continue to push the envelope.
It's interesting. We've talked a lot over the years in recruiting. You seem to find some of those diamonds in the rough. You talked about, you know, Jordan Walker being a basketball player. We talked to Ali Marpet about how he wanted to play basketball at one point. So is there something you look for in terms of just athletic ability where you think, okay, if he's this kind of athlete, we can teach him the football X's and O's?
Absolutely. My fundamental belief is recruit athletes over football players. Some, the video and everything will show great football players, but if we believe in our development, if we trust that we can teach them our schemes, oftentimes, you know, some of the best scholarship guys are gone right away. So sometimes we got to find that guy that maybe hasn't started shaving yet. We can kind of see where he's going to start to develop, or we're going to find that guy that's going to continue to grow into his body when you look at his mom and dad and see the genetics they have. So we look at many different things once we get past the academic fit and obviously the football fit sometimes. And you look at our two kickers, Vicente and Toby, like I think they're tremendous upside. You think of guys like Jordan Walker and Bengali Conte and some other guys who are longer length bodies that were basketball players. Well, all of a sudden now they find a college weight room, and if they really buy into it, now you're going to get a stronger, more athletic defensive back. So, you know, we talked about Rainius last week. Rainius was a guy who, you know, if you look at his high school video, you know, he was athletic but didn't pop off, but we trusted in his process. So, yeah, we're not perfect on it, but we do look a lot away from the game of football and just look at athletic ability, upside, and we believe in our ability to develop them as long as they're willing to roll up their sleeves and commit to the process. And if they trust the process, we've been pretty successful with finding those right guys to have much more larger roles as they go through their career here at Hobart.
We talked about Buffalo State looking to rebuild their program. It's a similar situation with Rochester. Chad Martinovich has come over, did a great job at MIT. They've had some problems off the field over the years and sort of some culture things, and I think he's still in that process as well.
Yeah, he's done a really good job, and we know Chad over the years, and you know, he's come in and had a very clear vision on what it's going to take to be successful at Rochester. And, you know, fortunately for him, he's been able to have all of his recruiting classes now through. So, you know, the culture piece is in place, and they're playing much better. I mean, I think that's the thing is, you know, the record can be a little deceiving. You know, they're going to play hard. I look at some of the guys they have now with experience on offense and defense. They're sound in what they do. The coaches are going to put them in the right spot, and the players are going to know what they need to do to execute it. And the other part is the belief. They believe they can compete with teams now. So we anticipate this is going to be a game where, you know, as we remind our guys, you know, it's the Centennial Cup. This rivalry has been going on for many, many years, much before most of us were ever, you know, realizing how important this game is. So we know that Rochester is going to come in fired up, excited to play us, especially with Chad being a Hobart alum and getting the guys rallied up to come here and play us. And at the end of the day, we know we're going to have to play well to beat them.
I don't want to put the jinx on, but if you win the game and get to 7-3, what can you tell us about a potential bowl game?
Yeah, I think that's the key. You know, we haven't really talked much about next week, so you asked us, so I'll address it, but we're going to try to quickly put it to bed. We know we'd have to take care of business, so all of our focus is on Rochester right now. If we end up, you know, take care of business and we get to 7-3, we put in for a potential bowl game invite. I think the teams that have declared this year are strong. There's a lot of teams that are, you know, there's a couple of teams that could be with 1-2 loss. You know, us at 7-3, I think with a strong finish to the season, I think we're in consideration, but there's no guarantee. So the NCAA selection show will come out on Sunday. We'll find out. Obviously, we're mathematically have been eliminated from that, but some of the teams that might be on the bubble, that might kind of dictate whether we're in or out, and then we'll find out on Monday if we are fortunate to continue on and play the postseason, which is, you know, our goals obviously was to win the conference and advance in the NCAA playoffs. It didn't happen, but at the same time, anytime you're one of the few teams that can still play on in a postseason game and you've earned that opportunity, we want to be able to always give our guys as much of that experience and understand that our as we continue to build what we're doing here, we're not finished. We're still a work in progress. That those last couple of years when we've been able to win those bowl games has been significant for us to kind of catapult into our winter workouts in spring. And at the end of the day, really know that recruits that are coming and looking at Hobart, that we're going to be planning on playing in the postseason hopefully every year that they're here.
And I know that part of that equation is that some teams don't necessarily accept a game. They might be chosen and decline it for whatever reason, budget or otherwise. So sometimes a team that's above you might say no, and then you get that opportunity.
Yeah, usually the teams that declare have kind of already made that conscious decision. Like last year, there was a couple teams in our conference that chose not to for various reasons. And I think the teams that have declared, very rarely do you see them pull out. I think The biggest thing right now is just there's two or three teams that have declared that, like, if they win their games this week, they could potentially earn the NCAA game. So I think it's that's why there's still a lot to be determined. And I think for our guys, we told them not to focus on that. We got to take care of our business first. And then if we do play well and earn that victory, then hopefully we've put enough out there. And I think we're playing pretty well right now that we would be one of those teams to hopefully be considered for a bowl game that following week.
All right, final game of the regular season. It's Rochester. It's the Centennial Cup, and it's been relatively easy over the years, but you can never count on that. Best of luck on Saturday.
Perfect. Thanks, and we're hoping to honor the seniors with a strong finish on Senior Day.
Kevin DeWall, head coach of the Statesman. You can find this football podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. And also look for all your Hobart and William Smith athletics news at hwsathletics.com. Go field hockey in the NCAA tournament this weekend, and we'll see you Saturday at the Boz.